So you just heard Kristen talk about our concept for CubeSat design, and later you're going to hear Keeching talk about the implications for the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. But right now, I'm going to tell you about simulations of directed energy thrust on rotating asteroids. First, I'm going to give you an overview of asteroids. Then I'm going to explain our theoretical models. And lastly, I'll explain our simulation results. I think a lot about meteors, the purity of them. Boom, the end, start again, from the recent Ultron movie. But meteors are not just science fiction. Just 2 years ago, over Russia, a meteor exploded, causing over 1,000 injuries and roughly $33 million in damages. We need to study this threat and learn more about it. Here is a graph of asteroid diameter versus rotation period. And this is very preliminary, and we still need to learn more about these. But some interesting conclusions. We noticed this sharp 2-hour cutoff in the period. Also, these up here are generally rubble piles that tend to be gravitationally bound and have a period that's independent of diameter and dependent on density. This yellow category down here we classify as superfast rotators. These tend to be molecularly bound and have an irregularity in their period due to the York effect. Lastly, everything to the left of the blue line would be are small enough that they'd be broken up by Earth's atmosphere. So, here's our idea for deflecting asteroids. You have an asteroid, you shine a laser beam on it. This excites the surface to 3,000 degrees Kelvin and initiates mass ejection. And Newton's third law says that if stuff's flying off that way, you'd get a thrust vector the other way. This allows us to direct the asteroid. But that's boring. More interesting case is when the asteroid's rotating. When you've got a spinning asteroid and you shine a laser beam on it, the spots get smeared across the surface. And the mass that's ejected is no longer in line with the laser beam, and your thrust vector is now off axis. So, we performed finite element analysis and used the following equations. So, the laser beam was approximated with the Gaussian beam profile, the flux from radiation with the Stefan-Boltzmann law, the flux from conduction with Fourier's law, and then the flux from radiation was the most complicated. We modeled that using the Antoine's equation and a modified Langmuir equation. Now the part you actually care about, our results. Here's one of our simulations run with COMSOL Multiphysics. What you're looking at is the temperature of the asteroid due to the laser spot. You can see where the laser strikes the asteroid, and as it spins, the spot gets smeared across the surface. This is an asteroid with a 100-second period over the course of 4 days. We've plotted thermal conductivity versus thrust, and we found out that a 250,000% increase in thermal conductivity only resulted in a negative 2% change in thrust, indicating that thermal conductivity is not an important factor in computing the net thrust imparted to an asteroid. To interpret this illustration, we define the x direction to be parallel to the laser beam, and the y direction to be perpendicular to that in the direction of the thrust vector. So as you see on this graph here, X is in brown and Y is in blue. At very slow rotation speeds, so stationary cases, you'll notice that the X approaches the black, the thrust magnitude, indicating that the thrust vector is entirely in the X direction, as expected. But here is the interesting region. In this sector, you have a large Y component to your thrust vector, indicating that the asteroid will actually be directed but at an angle to the incident laser beam. And lastly, this area over here, these are the superfast rotators. And with a superfast asteroid, the spot gets smeared equally across the entire surface, and you get no net thrust.
You mentioned the York effect, I believe. Can you elaborate?
It's a quite impronounceable effect. It's named after four researchers. It has to do with the sun hitting the asteroid and actually exciting this effect that I talked about, mass ejection. And it actually causes, I believe, prograde rotators to speed up and retrograde rotators to slow down due to this mass ejection. Yes?
To deflect a real asteroid, how much laser power would you need?
Excellent question. How big an asteroid? How far away? All these types of factors are really important. In the end, we're hoping to build a giant laser on the scale of gigawatts. That's currently not feasible. That's why we're starting out small with CubeSats. We're currently working with JPL on their ARM mission because they want to capture an asteroid. So we're looking at building a small megawatt laser to look at de-spinning the asteroid so that they can capture it.
For the fast rotators, can't you pulse the laser and have a net thrust?
That is an excellent question. In fact, that's what we're looking forward to looking into.
So there seemed like there was a certain rotation period where the Y component was strongest.
Mm-hmm.
Is there like an intuitive explanation what's special about that rotation period?
You'd imagine that it would have to be some rotation period because if you start spinning up too fast, the black line indicates the thrust magnitude. Your thrust magnitude goes to zero. So you know that there's a minimum on this end. You know there's also a minimum on this end because you know that your X has to dominate. So since there's a min on both ends, there has to be a max somewhere. Where it is, we don't have a physical understanding of why that's a critical point.
Other questions? All right, let's thank Jonathan again.
Thank you.
There you go.